Hi, it's Dove again, and we're making slow progress, but progress nonetheless. We'll probably continue a little bit past the end of Shavuot Tat. If you want to hear a little exposition based on the Shalach HaKadosh and others on what the Inyan of Shavuot really is and why it applies really mainly, maybe even only, in a year in a leap year, then just listen to the first recording on this talk. Also, I just want to say that this talk, these recordings, as I think I clarified in the first recording, are not geared to addiction. Just like the whole website of Guard Your Eyes is not a website it's not an addiction program. It's an educational website. It's an educational website where people who have, most people who have, you know, use porn or even masturbate themselves and get in some degree of trouble with sex issues are really normal, especially if you're a yid, you have a yetzirah, you have the right body parts. You're going to get into some trouble, especially bizman hazeh. People are so selfish, self-centered. We're so, you know, not just pleasure-oriented. All people, including tzaddikim, are pleasure-oriented. It's just like Rav Noach Weinberg, that Tzadik Baruch explained, their definition of pleasure is different. Their levels of pleasure, and people who are self-actualized, usually, especially religiously of any religion, you know, are usually not hedonistic. In other words, they're not physical pleasure seekers, but rather spiritual pleasure seekers. Values guide a self-actualized religious person's behavior, no matter what religion the person is using. You know, that's obvious to anybody who really sees with an open mind. When I say religious, I don't mean people who are scholars in a religion. You can be a scholar in a religion or even a practitioner, and that doesn't make you religious at all. A religious person, whether it's in Yiddishkeit or Lahavdil or any other religion, or any other thing that's called a religion, a person who's truly religious is a person who has adopted the values of their religion, their religious beliefs, their religious faith, into their own personal priorities. That's when a person changes. That's when a person grows. That's called a religious person to me. A person who's really put the values of their religion into themselves, who's adopted them. If a person looks at stuff, that's why a child can't do mitzvos, really, or averis for that matter, because a child doesn't really adopt these principles into their behavior. A child just copies whatever's around them usually, at least up until a certain age when they start saying, hey, why am I copying this stuff? I am an individual. Why am I just adopting the values that are around me? What's that all about? You know, that's a good thing. That's when we get this thing called bechira, you know? And that's when a person can start being a bar mitzvah, a person who actually can do things and choose things. And a few more years go by and they can actually have the level of choice that they become responsible for what they choose, which is called the age of dinin, which is 20, you know? So, you know, there are different levels because of a person's autonomy, a person's at least potential for autonomy, which makes their bechira real bechira. So when you choose to do a mitzvah, the question to ask is, am I choosing this because of a commitment, or am I choosing it because I'm copying? What is the payoff for this choice? And that's what the Chovas Halvavos is focusing on in Shara Bodhis, in Shara Yichra Maisa, Perik Dalet and Hey, where he says that a person who's a faker, in other words, doing things for approval, completely for approval from others, even if they're mitzvahs, is worse than a person who's serving avodah zarah. That's what the Chovas Halvavos means. Even though he's not doing a single avera, he's worse than an oved avodah zarah. And he gives four reasons why or something, you know, the typical way of Rav Achia is, you know, I'll give 5 reasons for this, 11 reasons for that, you know, and it's, you know, whatever, that's his style, and that's what he means. And this sefer, from the very beginning of it, is touching on that concept over and over again, and that's going to be the real focus. Self-honesty is going to be the focus of the sefer, not self-control. Once a person has self-honesty, then their choices begin to be real choices. Until a person really has self-honesty, his or her choices are not really his or her choices. They're a choice to abdicate, to let go of their freedom of choice. And instead of being a human, they're, you know, whatever. Even though they're doing mitzvahs all day long. And that's the point. Those are some of the points that he went out of his way to make in the first few prokim. And that's important, because if you're going to, and this is the key, and by the way, this has a lot of crossover into addiction and recovery, this concept. If a person is focusing on what's real values, that means that they're trying to create psychic change, actual personal change. And that's the focus of this sefer. Anyone who wants to face up to the fact that we have human foibles and weaknesses and we fail frequently, and your Rebbe and your Rebbe and everybody else are all going to fail in many ways. That's what being a human is. We're going to fail. Ein tzadik b'aretz asher yas, ein ish tzadik b'aretz asher yas, v'lo yechata. And yechata is open for interpretation. It might not mean an actual sin, but it might mean also, yechata literally means l'achati et matara, to miss the target. Who's going to miss, who's going to make mistakes, you know. So we're all going to fail in various ways. That's what being a human being is. Yehudi hu tamid baderech. Ein hu yachol avel shum tachlit, as the Magama band used to say, based on Rabbi Nachman's teachings. So, you know, that's a given. The question is, how are we going to succeed? In what ways will we succeed while we're failing in some ways? We're not out for perfection. We're out for doing the right thing. And doing the right thing depends on one thing first. Where are you? Who are you? What are you? You know, your place. The Baal Shem Tov said, a person can serve Hashem from wherever they are, no matter where you are. The Magid said, a person has to serve Hashem from wherever they happen to be, from wherever they are. And Rabbi Yisrael of Vision, I was told, said that a person can only serve Hashem from wherever they are. And that's the key. That wishing I would be there instead of where I am, and then I could serve Hashem, is a lie. That's an excuse that a person uses in order to, again, abdicate, to surrender in a bad way, to give up in a bad way their freedom of choice and responsibility, and say, if only I were like so-and-so, if only the situation were like that, then I could do the right thing. And there's no such thing. No matter where you are, no matter what you're in the middle of doing right this second, you have a choice of doing the right thing or not. And it might not be, especially if you listen to Ishbitz, you know, it might not necessarily be pretty, but there's many levels of the right thing. And it doesn't have to be necessarily always beautiful. So the reason that the sefer is going to keep harping on these issues, when you read this through the sefer, you'll see that he really puts his money where his mouth is when it comes to self-honesty, because he's not interested in just another Musa sefer. Mesillas Yesharim doesn't talk about this much. You know, many other sefarim don't talk about this very much. You know, but That is the key to everything, is the self-honesty. Rabbi Ali Melech of Lezhensk, in not just Osi Gimel, but in many places in the Tzedek Katan, implies this idea of self-honesty. In fact, he goes out of his way to say that before any maisa that you do, you should say to yourself, you know, I'm doing this only l'shem shemayim, not to gain anything at all from it. And not only that, but I'd rather, whatever pleasure I'm having, eating, drinking, enjoying time with your children, enjoying time with your husband, your wife, whatever it is, I'd rather be dragged out to be killed al Kiddush Hashem than do this, even though I'm enjoying this very much, but I would enjoy that even more. And then he says, but don't lie to yourself. Lying to yourself about it and saying, yes, I would rather be dragged out. I don't rather die al Kiddush Hashem, even though I'm about to eat the steak. If it's not true, then don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lie. Don't fake it till you make it. That's not, that is a motto that is very useful, but it has very, very narrow parameters of where it works and where it fails terribly. So getting to the material. The Lazek Kadam, I mean, the second paragraph in Perek Dalet, in the beautiful edition put out by of this Sefer, put out by a publishing group called Machon Sod Yesharim, and the name of the sefer is Yosher Divrei Emes, and the name of the portion of the sefer, which is like in the second half of the sefer, it's just 8 prakim, is called Derech Emes. The specific part of the Sefer. So I'm in the second paragraph of the fourth chapter, the fourth paragraph. The Lazek Kadam Sur Meirala Ase Tov. Oh, I did this really. I'll just go through it quickly. The Halos Ase Kodam La Ase. Kikolos Ase Hikoch Vataiva Gupanis, Sofala Offer Yasha Beshekere in the Red Lion. That's why Sur Meirah comes before Aseh Tov. Normally in Halacha we say Aseh is Doche Alos Aseh, that if you have a choice between an Aseh and a Los Aseh, do the Aseh and ignore the Los Aseh. There's obviously parameters of how to apply that, but there's different, so he's saying, well, but actually the Los Aseh comes first. Like we see the famous pasuk, Sur Meira, avoid evil, and Aseh Tov, do good. V'halot, ki kol lo ta'ase, hi koach v'taiva gufonis. Every kind of lo ta'ase, of transgression, is based on the power that we all naturally have. It's an instinct, it's a reality of being a human being, of being an animal probably as well, which is taiva gufanis, bodily desire, bodily pleasure. The sofa la upper yashiv. But we know that this is bodily pleasure, all the philosophers knew, is something, all the Gentile philosophers knew very well, as well, is something that simply dies and there's nothing left of it. Even the Greek philosophers who believe truly that the human intellect is the soul and that it survives after the body is dead and floats around and stuff and becomes part of an ether or something. They also believed that bodily pleasures are, die and they're dead and they're gone. Even right after you do it, it's over and it doesn't exist anymore, So, ein lo reglayim, in a way, it's sheker. Because it doesn't last, it's sheker. B'chol zman shenafsho aduka b'tarava, and any time that a person's self, nefesh's self, it also implies what you want, your identity, or how you identify yourself, what you want. In Yeshus Nafshechem, like Abraham says to Ephron's friends, Shenafshu Aduka B'tava, that the person's self is Aduka, means like stuck to, heavily invested, B'tava, in desire. Physical desire. Afilu in yislahev v'dvar mitzvah bi'ahava rabba. Even if the person flames up for the purpose of doing a mitzvah with great love of Hashem or whatever, afal pi chein misheker. It also remains false to some degree. He means ki ein epsher. I'm sorry. Ki eich epsher la'over al ritzono la'asos ritzono. How can a person whose priority in life is doing things that are actually against the will of the king, be a person who truly is concerned with doing the will of the king? It's just a psychotic kind of thing. It's just a mood. But that's not expressing what's going on. The Kolzman as we said before in the first chapter, where he made this case very clearly, and afterward I connected it to relationships, and whether it's for business or whether it's in, let's say, a friendship, a true friendship. If you consider yourself friends with somebody, oh, he's my friend, and you go, hi, you know, and you always see each other, and then you hear that when you're not around, he says things about you, like, you know, oh, Moshe Yitzchak, oh, he smells so bad, you know, or he treats his wife so badly, you know, or he's not raising his kids in the derech of the Rabbanu Shalom, the derech of Torah, you know, or he's a cheater, he's a liar, you know, isn't he ugly? He's not very intelligent, you know. So like, and you hear from three people already that he told them these things, and you meet him the next time, you say, like, even if you're a good guy and you're a smart guy and you just confront him and you say, what's going on? Why are you marapanim to me like a friend, but you're trying to undermine me and my reputation elsewhere? What's going on here? And he says, oh, well, let's say he lies to you and he says it's not true, whatever. Okay, let's say he told you the truth and he says, well, you know, I mean, some things, I like a lot of good things about you, so I'm friends with you about those good things, but I have, you know, you expect me to lie? I mean, if I feel like undermining you in some way, then that's my prerogative. Okay, so you realize that this kind of a person is not a friend. He's smiling at you. And at that moment, he might mean it sincerely because he sees good things about you and he smiles at you, you know, about those good things. And at that moment, he's ignoring the bad thing. But that's not a friend. The guy's not your friend because he's doing bad things to you. He's harmful to you. So in the same way, there is no friendship there. It's not a real relationship. It's not a positive relationship if the person's doing things intentionally, certainly, and even accidentally and not stopping, that are harmful to you, you know? So, you know, he has a sign that someone else put on his front yard that says, Moshe Yitzchak is a stinker, you know? Moshe Yitzchak is a jerk, and he just hasn't taken it off yet. He just doesn't take it off his front yard. Someone else stuck it there, and he doesn't take it off. And Ahav would see, that's a Sur Meirah time. He's my friend. How could I be doing something, even unintentionally, that's undermining him? I need to take that thing off my front yard immediately. That's horrible, you know? But he doesn't do it. So like, no matter how much of a friend he is, he could have been a true friend for 20 years, and you realize he doesn't care about the sign on his front yard. What does that mean? You know, so the Sur Meirah really comes first. Everybody who stops doing the Ra, my Desani Lach, Chavrech Lo Savid, that's number one. That's what Hillel told the Ger, I mentioned last time. That's number one. Number two is Aseto. Sur Meirah is first, and that proves that you're an Eved Hashem. Aseto doesn't prove Babkis. Because anyone can put on tefillin. Anyone can do something nice. Anyone can do a favor for anyone. But to stop harming the other person and to make sure that nothing I do causes this person any harm at all in any way, that shows true respect. That's a potential friend. And that's the point of this sefer. Why does the Yetzer Hara let him do mitzvahs? Elavadai gam zehu pito yayetzer la'abdo b'shkarim shelo liros or ha'emes v'shiyisbor shehut tzadik v'yirei shemayim. The Yetzer Hara allows you to do mitzvahs asay because the mitzvahs asay help his agenda because they are actually undermining a person. They're actually making a person worse because it's further evidence that I'm fine. Look at all the mitzvahs I'm doing. To make it submissive And then finally he'll be able to love what's really good. Let me translate. But the real point here, if you want to do things right, to disdain, to hold in disdain, you know, lema'es implies not necessarily hating, really, but I understand you can translate it as it should be nearest to you. I understand. The Balatanya has a shtickle on that, and many others far and talk about this idea. He's saying it a little bit different now. You have to understand it properly in context. He's saying sort of like in a similar way as we have Ohev and Sone by Yaakov and his wife, Leah. It says he was married to Leah. They called Rachel his only wife, really, but Leah says, it says about Leah that Leah saw Kisanua, and she even says, Kisanua Anochi, I am the hated, I am hated. What does she mean? That Yaakov hates me. She doesn't mean that, Chas v'Shalom. She means that compared to Rachel, he doesn't love me at all. He prefers her. He doesn't prefer me. In biblical parlance, that's referred to as Sinua, or so, you know, Sina, Sone. You know, but depends on the context. Depends on the context. You know, ata ohe, in modern Hebrew, you say, do you like, you know, fish? You know, that meiser with the altar of Sabbatia, I think it was, or the altar of Kelim. You know, do you like fish? You know, yeah, I like fish. In English, you say, do you love fish? Do you like fish? You know, that's English. In Hebrew, there's just one word, you know. There are other expressions to use, but the simplest, most direct way to say it is, you know, I like fish. I'm Yohev Lechol Dan. You know, I like eating. It's love all of a sudden. It obviously doesn't mean love. It means that's what I choose. That's what I like to do. Aval ha'ikar hu lema'es, to hold in disdain, to choose otherwise than divrei ha'olam v'sa'avosa, the matters of the world, temporary matters, v'sa'avosa and its desire, who wins the Super Bowl, what movie is coming out, anything that you might enjoy, any food that you might enjoy, sex with your wife, that's mutter, on mikveh night, everything, it's all divrei ha'olam, and also his own covet, whether people like me, approval from others. What good is it? They're all going to die. They're all going to forget me. And it's all, what am I needed for? The whole eish tonei with his heart, any time that he is available. In other words, work on yourself by turning your back, he's suggesting, on everything that's selfish, bodily, and COVID-related. And on this, he should place his whole strength and his thoughts. That he should hate evil and make it submissive, you know, put it down. And then he'll be able to love what's good. And any time now, OCD comes to the rescue here, and you and I, we will meet, and you might be one of them, and I might have been at one time, but thank God I'm not now, one of these people that hears this, and they walk away, and if you look at teenagers, who let's say hear a whole schmooze about this last point that I was saying, about hating wrong, hating evil, and turning your back on all tithes and covet, you'll see that very often, such a person will begin to act like a total jerk. In other words, start to disrespect people around him by saying the truth, whether it's annoying or not. I once had a mustache, okay? I was maybe 17 or something, or 18, and I shaved my beard at the time, and I was shaving at the time, and I left my mustache on. Why? I didn't want to look like Saddam Hussein. You know, I didn't want to look like Tom Selleck. I didn't want to look like whoever. I just liked the way my mustache looked. I don't know. What was the reason? I was a kid, you know? Whatever, you know? And some guy, a yeshiva guy, who I had no relationship with at all. We weren't friends. We weren't enemies. We weren't anything. He was and a Ben Yeshiva, we never talked, we never said a word to each other. And what's the first word, the first thing he decided to say to me? He walked by me and he said, oh, so your nose is so important that you decided you need to underline it? And then he walked away. And I was thinking to myself, wow, now I'm embarrassed to have a mustache because I know that there's at least one person who disrespects me for it and sees me as a fool. And who knows how many more there are. That's one thought. The other thought I had was, what a jerk, you know? Like, why is it in business what I'm doing with my thing? And since when is he, this is the mussar that you give a person? Aren't there more important things? Like, what? How about, obviously, the way he should have done it was, obviously, to create a relationship with me first. Spend a couple of mincha maariv saying, walking by and saying hi, talking with me. Not to have fear, which we do, and this is why many of us don't do that in the Torah world. We don't do, the Chazon Ish talks about this. This is why we don't do tochacha, right? This is why, because tochacha requires friendship first. You have to create a relationship where the other person won't only hear this one thing. I couldn't hear what he said at the time, you know, at that age especially. So what I my reaction was, you know, useless in terms of whatever good intention he might have had, which he might not have had any good intention. It could be that his only intention was to feel like he's hot stuff because he can put people down. I don't know. His intention might have been completely l'shem shamayim. He might have had an intention of saying, look, there's a person who could be better. He's doing something that's harmful to him psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, in terms of his frumkeit and yiras shamayim, in some way, I need to say something. I can't just stand by. So, but the way to get it done is to first become friends with the person and actually have a true friendship, not necessarily a deep friendship, but to like speak to the guy a few times to show and to create in truth a real small, pleasant friendship and then say something to him that's not embarrassing and demeaning about his mustache, like the mustache is interesting. Like, what motivated you to grow a mustache? Maybe, you know, something like that. I know that sounds kind of threatening, but it doesn't compare to saying you're an arrogant person and that's why you grew a mustache. Goodbye, you know. So that's the way to that's a loving way to do the job. And that's how we need to deal with ourselves as well. And look how he describes this. As long as we still love, in other words, prefer ourselves and my desires, in other words, in a selfish fashion, the sa'avaso, the kochos ha'tumah, ha'nechlolam b'shasadidim k'neged losaseh, anytime we're drawn after the bodily desires, afal pi sh'nira le'itim sh'choshek l'tor l'tfilo l'masim tovim, even though it appears that at times he does have a true desire for Torah and mitzvahs, tfilo l'masim tovim, v'adai toch ha'kavana sh'lo l'shem sh'mayim hu. For certain, toch means tavech, the center. For sure, the central pillar of his kavana is, the core of his kavana is not l'shem shemayim. Behut tzvi'ot rachmana litzalam. And it's faking. God save us. Ki kvar amar David ha'melech ol v'shalom. Hayav Hashem sinura. That the ones who love Hashem disdain ra. They turn away from ra. They hate ra. Ugh, ra. I don't like Ra. Now, just finishing the last touch on the point about tochacha before, if you or I want to give tochacha to some person, the reason that we don't properly befriend them, this is, I think, what the Chazon Ish might have been referring to, about b'zman hazeh, we don't know how to give tochacha and the different things. You can look in the Igaris in the back of Sefer Chazon Ish on Emunah and Bitochon. And he I think what he's referring to is that a lot of people who have some measure of Yiras Shamayim, halavai we all should, a lot of us who we feel so like so self-centered and so emotionally excited, instead of seeing things correctly in a big picture, we're so into what's going on in the moment that we can't emotionally, intellectually afford to befriend the person properly, because in befriending them, we're afraid that every time I say hi, and I don't say anything about the ugly, stupid, gayusha-looking mustache, I'm approving. I'm showing him that I approve of his mustache. And I can't do that. That's wrong. People might see me saying hello to him, and they'll learn from me that I like him and that I approve of him and I approve of his mustache. You understand? So that's the Yetzer Hara, so to speak. That's the problem, the impediment to doing this tochacha right. And therefore, we say as soon as we can, I don't approve of your mustache. Before we show the person that I approve of you so much, I hold of you so much, I think you're so important that I feel it's necessary for me to say to you, what's with the mustache? You deserve better. You could do better. You know, instead of giving that message across, we just assume that everybody assumes that, yes, of course I'm doing it because I respect you and I think you could do better. No. People assume that you're doing it for the same reason that, you know, somebody I know visited a friend when they had a broken leg, when they were sick. And they, you know, this person didn't know this person from a hole in the wall. And he visited this person, him and his wife came to the person's house, did Bikur Cholim. The way that it's done in that kind of a case is very, very important, because that person ended up feeling like a prop to this person to get his mitzvah, to get a mitzvah, instead of to do a mitzvah, to get it. You got a mitzvah, as many people say. You know, oh, you got an aveira for that. Oh, you got a mitzvah for that. This person felt like this other person was visiting him in his time down as, oh, yummy, yummy, I can get another mitzvah. And the proof was that he just didn't, he didn't have anything to do with him before, and he didn't have anything to do with him after, you know? And it was this person spoke to another friend of mine, who ended up speaking with me about this. You know, this is a problem. How do you do mitzvahs like this without the other person feeling like he's just a prop? Well, the answer is by not seeing the other person as a prop. How is that possible? If the mitzvah is not because you're a good guy, it's because it's a mitzvah, then I can't be trying to do this other person a favor. I can't really be concerned for his welfare. I have to be concerned for the Rabbanu Shlomo. The answer to that question is no, that's not true. If you look at our tzaddikim, you'll see that that's not the way they are. That's just not true. That's the childish way to do mitzvahs. But that needs a separate talk. How do you do things for the right reasons, because Hashem says, but still inculcate in yourself the midos that it is teaching us, right? The Gemara says, anybody who says, ad kan tzipor, yagid rachamecha, that Hashem, you had rachmanas, so you told us to chase away the mother bird before we take the eggs, that mishakinoso. You know, you tell a person, be quiet. Don't say that. Why? Because they're not... He says the mitzvahs are niceties, and really they're gezerosos. He was geyser like this. What does that mean? If you look in the Sifrei Musar, the Sifrei Chassidus too, you'll see it doesn't mean to say that Hashem doesn't care about kindness. Hashem gives us a mitzvah for whatever reason, and to think about kindness is a distraction from the mitzvah, the Shem Shemayim, and really we have to be doing it only because he said, no. That's not what the Sfarim say. The Sfarim say because the Gemara is saying is that he didn't give it to us because he has rachmanis on the birds. He gave it to us so that we would have rachmanis on the birds. Behavdim esager, why? Ki gerim hayisem. in Mitzrayim. One of the reasons he put us in Mitzrayim was for us to feel pity over Gerim. Ki Gerim Yisav, Atem Yodim Es Nefesh HaGer. You know? So yes, he didn't give us a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen because he has pity on these birds. Nebuch, someone has to protect them. That's ridiculous. He'll protect them himself. He's God if he wants to. Ella what? It's because he wants us to have Rachmanis. And for him, they're Gezeris. For us, of course, they're Rachmanis and Gezeris at the same time. All of the mitzvahs are Chukin, and all the mitzvahs that are also Eidos are Eidos. And all the mitzvahs that are Mishpatim as well as Chukin as well. Also. Every mitzvah has a Chok aspect because God says to do it, period. Don't try to do it because you think it's for a good reason. Do it because he says. But now, what am I supposed to become by doing this mitzvah? Ah, it's supposed to flex my muscles of Gomle Chasadim, of Rachmanim, of Baishanim, of this, of that. You know, and that's Keseder, what all the mitzvahs are for. If you open up Rav Hirsch, Talmud of the Aruch Lener, you open up people, you know, and you see, how do you do mitzvahs? What do you learn from mitzvahs? You're supposed to learn from the mitzvahs what it means to be a man or a woman. You're supposed to learn what does it mean to be alive, to be an Eved Hashem. Now he says, Ki chavar amar David amelv al-Hashem, Hashem sinura, ve'im lehepe chalila, im ohev ra, if you like, if you prefer what's bad, what's false, ki efshe le'ehov Hashem. You can't possibly really love Hashem. Ki efshe le'ehov v'lisno ke'ef, and you can't love and hate simultaneously. V'zeh b'kesh David amelv al-Hashem, le tohar, not a kaddish heart, but a tohar, pure heart, b'reli elokim. Hashem, create for me a pure heart, not a good heart. Good would be tov, lev tov. Holy would be lev kaddish. Holiness is kedusha. Tahara means purity. Theoretically, something can be tahar for ra, completely and totally ra, with no good in it at all. That would theoretically be tahar as well. With, in other words, tihara yom, you know, tahar yom, means that the sky gets cleaned out completely of the sunlight. It's full nighttime. Seisa kochavim. You know, that's the pshat in the words, if I'm not mistaken. But over here, in the normal usage of tahar is for good. That's the normal usage of tahar is for good, meaning 100% pure. Either you're tahar or you're not. A person can have a lot of kedusha, but if someone's metame him, he still has kedusha in certain ways, in certain respects, but he lost his tahara, so the kedusha can't function. Because tahara means purity. That's a percentage thing. And there's either 100 or doesn't matter. There's nothing else. So, lev tahor b'reli elikim, a pure heart create for me Hashem. V'achakar b'kesh al ruach nechon. And then he prayed for the right ruach, the right, it's also an aspect of desire, the right spirit, meaning the right desire. So first he wanted tahor, which is sur meira, then he wanted nachon, which is good. Ki kodem taras alev mehevle ha'olam sa'avosa. Before a person can actually cleans his heart out from Havle Ha'olam Sa'avosav, Eino Poel Klum, Beruach Nachon Lekayim Devetar. He doesn't actually accomplish anything with Torah. Ki Yasa L'chvod Atzma, because he will do it for himself. So the tzaddik is not saying that if you're not a tzaddik and you're still doing Averis, all your mitzvahs are garbage. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is they can't succeed at accomplishing what you want them to accomplish until your priorities are right. And it's not about doing averus, it's about what your priorities are. The ha'osik b'sifrei mus, why? Ki yaseh lechvod atzmo. That's what he's saying. It's not about, well, you did an avera, you got an avera, so now your mitzvah is no good. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, ki yaseh lechvod atzmo. But the problem is that if my priorities are still on Avera, then when I do mitzvahs, I'm certainly doing them for myself as well. That's what he said in Perek Aleph. That's the problem. It's not like what the Baal HaTanya and the Bnei Yisachar refer to in Derech Pikudecha. If you look in the Hakdama, the Derech Pikudecha, beautiful sefer, Derech Pikudecha, you look in the Hakdama there, he has a whole shtickle, a beautiful shtickle on doing mitzvahs, even though you're still a Balavera. How do I do mitzvahs if I'm still doing Averas occasionally? And if I still have Averas on my record, so to speak, how do I do mitzvahs? And the Nefesh HaChaim talks about this in the chapters on, not Shardala, but in the chapters on Talmud Torah, on actually learning the Shema. The Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Velezhiner, Zechariah Bracha, writes about doing tshuva before you learn for a short moment, just thinking, hear her tshuva before you learn. Because, again, it's not a question of do you have a verse on your record. That's not the point. The point is, what are your true motives? And your true motives are demonstrated ultimately by the choices that you make. And the choices that you make are made very clear by your behavior. You're not a victim. You make choices. And your choices demonstrate what your priorities really are, as Rabbi Twersky has written in many places very beautifully. So that's the problem. The mitzvahs won't be poel klum beruach nachom lekayim divrei Torah. Why? Ki yaseh lechavod atzmo. Because it will be impossible for this person to be doing the mitzvahs l'shem shemayim. They won't be. They'll be because of the approval from your mother, your wife, your son, your husband, you're this, you're that. Which isn't evil, but it's self-centered. That's not l'shma. So the mitzvahs don't work properly. The Haosik B'Sifer, Musa B'Frat, Reishis Chachma, Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, Ochodoma, Yeda, Be'emes, anybody who learns Reishis Chachma and Orchis Tzadikim, kind of Sfarim, will know honestly, Eich Nistimu Einav, Mir'os, how his eyes have been shut from seeing. He's blind, the libo mehaskil, and his heart, how his heart is confused, it doesn't understand how we don't, anybody who learns Reishis Chachma and Orchis Tzadikim will see, will perceive the Kama Rochok Niyiras Chet, how far he is or she is from Niyiras Chet, from true fear of sin. The Tarosus Filosin and Nesis Beni Abari Baruch Hu, and in some respect his mitzvahs and his Torah are unworthy. This is a good attitude to have if you do it right. This goes back to the OCD comment. If you tell a person who's young and, excuse me, dumb, just immature about these ideas, they'll start becoming jerks. They'll start being OCD-type people where they learn they don't care. They don't shower. They wear the same clothes every day. Oh, didn't this tzaddik do that? Didn't the Chazon Ish fall asleep at his shtender into his bed when he was so weak at night he would just fall asleep into his shtender? But the Chazon Ish didn't do that after he had a child and his wife needed help with the baby. Chazon Ish did that when he was an old man and his wife was dead already probably, or when he was a bacher and he didn't have any other responsibilities. Sorry, tzaddikim are not fools. They're keeping the Torah mitzvahs the right way and they're living the right way. Blanket statements about he did like this, I'm going to do like that are nonsense. Nonsense and highly destructive. As Yisrael Belsky used to say, and as many tzaddikim wrote, the Altar of Slobodka actually spoke out against, Rabbi Victor Miller mentions it too a number of times, speaks out against reading biographies of tzaddikim if they're written in such a way that gives you the feeling that the tzaddik was basically born with a silver Torah spoon in his mouth. He was always a tzaddik. That's highly destructive, first of all, because it's nonsense half the time, and secondly, because it teaches children that you'll never make it and that you're wasting your time. But coming back to this, this is the other side of the fence. This is the end of this parak, basically. Sorry, just getting my papers together. Getting to the end of this parak here. He's saying the kama lochot miyosei b'sorosus filos nim esus beni abarim baruch hu. He's not saying Don't take it in a negative, bad way that Hashem hates your mitzvahs. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that the mitzvahs are not, I shouldn't be proud of my mitzvahs to the extent that I'm saying, whoa, I'm doing such an awesome job. I should keep in my heart the recognition that really they're lacking a great deal. He would prefer me to do them better. That's a healthy thing that every tzaddik recognizes. Every tzaddik recognizes this.
I'm sure. This is what, if you hear them talk, you read them, you hear David HaMelech say, Vanochi solas velo ish, you know, Meroshi ve'ad ragli en bimisom. Kemo sheherich bezeh hareshes chochma en shar yira ayin sham. Let me just finish this up real quick. Humility in our mitzvahs, looking at our mitzvahs as, yes, everything is a smashing success, as Reb Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg Shlita, the great, great man, Baruch Hashem, I have a little relationship with him, a tiny bit at least. Thank you. Thank you, God. He's a great man. As he clarifies, every day you should go to bed and think to yourself, to some degree, this was a smashing success. However, there's something lacking. And Anochi Salas V'lo Ish, even though Bishmili Nivro, I'm still Anochi Ofer V'Efer. Vim amor yomar ha'adam kvar amru chazal la'olam yilamad adam shalolosh ma shemitom shalolosh ma bolosh ma, that a person should always learn not for the sake of heaven, of God, for the mitzvah's own sake, to do the right thing because God says so, but rather a person should learn for ulterior motives, you know, to have kavod, to be smart, to be seen as smart, whatever it is. Shemitom shalolosh ma, because from within, from inside, shalolosh ma comes lishma. Kain hu ha'emes, it is really true, shetzarech lilmud al kol panim yom v'layla, that a person still, even if he's doing, even if his mitzvahs and his learning is like he says, nemesis, it's not chosen by Hashem, it's no good because he's still doing averis chronically, he should still learn yom v'layla. Aval eino muchach mizeh shi yisgadel v'yispa'er b'limudo, eich shehu oyved Hashem o shehu charif, that it's still, there's no obligation to now think of yourself as the best thing since sliced bread. How, look how smart I am. Look how geshmak. Look how much I learn. Ah! V'ad rabba mizemu kach shetzarech shiyuchna b'choleis yoser kishiyira atzmo rochuk milishma. But rather, a person should use this idea of mitoch shalolishma b'olishma to say, well, I'm probably shalolishma. I'm probably shalolishma. And that motivates me to try harder to be more lishma. Not to give up, and not to say, ach, my mitzvahs aren't worth anything anyway. But if a person feels that his yizbor, meaning he figures, that I'm doing exactly, he doesn't mean ritzon abari stam here, he means that I'm doing exactly as Hashem intends. I'm doing it perfectly. Then he'll never come to lishma. The Hemamu, and this is what they mean when they say shemitoch shelo lishma, from the fact, this is how he's teaching it, as he explains elsewhere. The tzaddik explains that Meshulam Fivish, that when it says shemitoch shelo lishma b'lishma, what he means is from within realizing that he is shelo lishma. Ba'lishma. He will eventually come to doing it lishma. But as long as he thinks that he's lishma from the outset, he'll never come to lishma because he doesn't see things accurately. He's not seeing the right thing. He's just not seeing the truth. So his priorities remain on honor. Okay, that's the end of this paragraph.